to welcome you to this session. This is the first in the series this week called Come to the Storytelling Tree. And today's title is Crafting Children's Sermons with Wisdom and Wit. And I tried to get some tree references into each of the daily titles. So I had crafting/grafting children's sermons. But it didn't work very well. I'm glad I didn't put it up there. I can see right now. So, but just a couple things in introduction, and we'll sort of spell out a little bit sort of what we're up to this week, and then we've got a few demo things we'd like to do and to hear from you as well. And I'm excited to be doing this. I'm an English professor at Montana State University. My name's Marvin Landsverk, and this is Kay, my wife. And this is something that I've been doing children's sermons sort of off and on for quite a while at our church. But in the last 2 years, we sort of got more involved with this puppet business. And I just wanted to sort of tell a little bit of that story to set the stage for how we're involved and what it is we're even doing up here. But even before I do any of that, I'm just curious, how many of you have a regular children's sermon as part of your worship service? Is that goes on? Is that?
Sometimes.
So not necessarily every Sunday, it's occasional. And there's a new book that just came out, and I've got the reference on something I'll pass out, but just this year that it did a survey. It's a statistical survey of mainline churches and how many of them use children's sermons and of what type, what they use them for. And I mean, it's got some interesting data in it, and it's like about 80% of mainline churches do children's sermons. How many of you here do contribute to those children's sermons specifically at church? Does anybody actually do them? Yeah.
Does contributing a child to them?
Well, no.
Yeah, that's right.
So one, and so not anybody else is actually up front, like necessarily doing something. How about anybody here teach Sunday school?
So you're. How far back do you want to go?
Well,
Did we ever teach?
Yeah.
In this century.
Well, that's. part of our focus this week isn't just on children's sermons. It's on opening God's Word to children in whatever sort of venue that we have to do that, whether it's during church, whether it's Sunday school, or really with your own family. And there's a number of ways and places where that takes place. But in our case, what happened just a couple years ago, we got asked to help do the opening music for some reason at our week-long Bible school in the summer. And Kay said yes. And then suddenly we were involved helping out with the music for like 130 kids would get together and they have a group opening where they all sing. And there's a curriculum. So as part of that, in the past they'd done some kind of theme, sometimes with puppets, just to set the theme for the story. So I just started writing a scripted puppet show for that week that had to do with the theme that was aimed at everyone there. And everyone there was like 130 kids and, I don't know, like 50 adult volunteers, a whole bunch. And then that sort of turned into doing it for Sunday school sort of all year long. And we continued then doing the music and then writing and performing a sort of weekly puppet show at the Sunday school opening. So at our church, we have an early service and a later service. And between the two is when the Sunday school hour is. So the kids come in, their parents come in, they gather. We all gather together in the sanctuary. And we sing some, and then we do a puppet script tied to the curriculum theme, and then they go off to their classes. So for the past 2 years, I mean, one of the things I spend my Saturday evenings doing is sitting in front of a computer then writing this puppet show, you know, based on the text for the curriculum. So, I mean, even though I'm not a pastor, I'm sort of proud that I get to feel like one, and I'm writing my sermon on Saturday night, like many others across the country that evening. And I don't start it till sort of late Saturday night, so.
Yes.
Sure, that's the case. So having said that, I mean, that's sort of how we got into doing this. And it's not all puppets. I mean, I do, then in the service itself, sometimes just the children's sermon, and with puppets or without, we do a number of things. But the purpose then of what, I mean, when Kay and I knew we were coming up here, I was going to do some stuff on poetry last week, I thought, you know, it might be fun, since a lot of our energy is going into this in the last couple of years, to try talking about this up here at Holden. And, you know, I didn't really have a feeling for whether there'd be an audience for or how it would go, so you can see. And I mean, this isn't sort of a very well practiced, crafted workshop that we have going with us together, because I've never really talked about this before. We've just done it. But our purposes this week is to focus then on a number of things. On children's sermons, anybody who might actually do them. You know, so if it motivates you to say to your pastor or whoever, hey, I'd like to do a children's sermon, great. But also, in broader than that, again, just opening God's word to children, again, whether it's Sunday school or any place else. And, I mean, sort of a third aspect of this, the way I think about this, it really is a series of sessions on exercising your creativity. And particularly with regards to stories and storytelling, but just exercising your creativity, and that ties it more closely into what I do for a living. I teach writing, among other things, and some of what we're talking about really is, you know, when you have to sit down and produce something that's due the next day that involves writing, you know, how do you do that, and where do you get ideas? So, do you have anything to...
No, you're doing just fine.
Okay. So the plan for the week, then today we thought what we'd do is just sketch out some general principles and then do a couple demonstrations of these things, so you just get a feeling for sort of how they work. And then what we'd like to do is get some comments from you about them. And then later in the week, I've sort of collected different people's advice on how to do children's sermons that I think are very interesting to look at what other people have said you should do and you shouldn't do, so we can use that as a place to discuss what you think about that, whether you agree, because whenever I see lists of advice, especially when it has to do with things that are like in a writing class, you know, and I mean, I experience this all the time. If you tell a student when you're right, do this, they'll go do the opposite, and it works. I mean, because there are no sort of real fixed rules about writing, and I think that's probably true about storytelling to some extent and children's sermons. So we'll take a look at some advice just to see where we all sit on that, and then I hope that'll lead to a discussion of what goes on in your churches and what your experience is and what works for you, because we're not the experts on all this. What we have is a particular type of thing that we're aiming at, but in part of this is an excuse just to share and pool some ideas that are among us. And so we'll do some, I mean, today we've got some puppet ones, and tomorrow we'll do some puppet ones, and then on Thursday we'll talk about sort of non-puppet children sermons. And I don't remember what's happening later beyond that. It's too far away. But
I haven't written it yet.
Yeah, right. That's right. I got to wait for Saturday night.
No, really.
Yeah, really. But just to sketch out what it is that how we see what we're doing, having described sort of that the setting, how it started with the Bible school. I mean, the main sort of principle we're working from. I mean, I guess one place we'd start is developmental theory about children. What we know is that certainly children's minds and children, the way they receive information, is quite different from the way adults do. Now, this isn't going to turn into a lecture on developmental psychology, so that's not my big area of interest. But certainly, you know, you read the books and they all say that you can't just get up there and do what you would do to an adult and expect a kid to get it. And a lot of people who do children's sermons do things that's still fun, but you think the kid's going to get it. And, I mean, in their minds, they're not at a developmental level, you know, so they can have fun, but they're not going to get it if getting it is even the goal. I mean, and the big example of that really is object lessons. And, I mean, kids' minds often will not understand someone who goes up and, you know, whatever it is. You know, you got your bucket of water and you've got this and you're showing something. And you say, God's love is like this, and you do something. And to make the translation from the image to the like is very difficult, I mean, for a younger child's mind. But that's not an insurmountable problem. But it's part, I think, of what, is the interesting challenge that we're facing when we're doing what we do. Because in spite of that, what we try to do with ours is do an intergenerational focused approach, which, whether it's for this Sunday school or whether it's a children's sermon, what we take our audience to be is not just the youngest of the young kids that are up there. I mean, you've got a whole range of kids from preschool up through however long they'll keep coming up, you know, and I mean, 12, I suppose, is, but also we take as our audience then, it's not just that we're just talking to those kids that are up there, although certainly the primary audience. I mean, if it's a children's sermon, that's the primary focus. But in a church service, I mean, you've got everybody else there, and it's not like you're all going away for a while and doing something and no one else can hear it. I mean, everybody else is there listening. And I mean, we take sort of as a challenge to do things then that can include everybody there in some fashion, which means not just aiming from preschool to grade 5 or 6, but then all the way up to 96 or whatever age is your limit there. And I mean, it's an impossible task if you read the developmental psychological discussions of this. I mean, you can't hit everybody with just doing one thing, so you have to make some decisions of where you want to aim. I mean, do you aim at the little ones because you want to get them? Do you aim in the middle? Do you aim someplace else? And instead of thinking about in terms of aiming, sort of what our overall approach then is to do is do something I just call sort of just a multi-level method. It sounds like Amway, you know, multi-level marketing. So. But to do something then that can appeal to everybody, that there's sort of elements that the little ones are going to get something out of. And you need to concentrate on that. But to have things in it also that the adults are going to appreciate and get something out of. And there's a whole range of things that can be done within that. But not everyone's going to get the same thing. But by shooting wide, and not just sort of at a graded level, I mean, that really describes what we do and what I do, and I think why I have fun with it, why I have fun writing, because I'll do a lot of wordplay and a lot of stuff that the little kids are absolutely not going to understand some of the jokes, and the adults are all waiting for them because they know, I mean, they've heard me before, and they know there's going to be something funny tied to this. It'll be tied into the theme. But what I find it does, I mean, we put our kids into their graded sections all the time, and you do it in Sunday school, which is necessary. But one of the things about church is the gathering under the arms of the tree of life, where we're gathering together, and that's certainly another one of the functions of worship, I think, is to do things where we're all together that's not just aimed at one or the other. So that's what our goals are in this, is to do something that we can call intergenerational, that's sort of for the whole community. Anything to add?
Yeah, I would just say that, you know, it's not easy to do it this way, and it's not necessarily wrong to do children's sermons that are really just geared towards children. It's just that the way we have decided to do it is kind of what we image is like the families of past generations who would live next to each other, and people would gather even in your own home, and these stories would be told by grandpa or grandma, and or think, you know, the conversation would go on, and the children were involved as much as they were wanting to be involved. That was just all, everybody was all together, and they would get parts of the story, and just even the feeling of being part of the laughter, part of the warmth, part of, you know, that was as significant maybe as the words that were being said in the stories. And so so we tend towards what you'll see here today, but it's not to say that all children's sermons have to be like we.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's my rhetorical method. When, you know, in a writing class, someone asked me, well, what do I mean, is this right? Is this what I should do? I mean, the answer to that question always is, well, it depends. I mean, it depends on so many things. So we're almost done sort of just talking at you. Just one other thing that just helps me when I think about this. I mean, there are three basic types of children's sermons. I mean, you could classify this in a number of different ways, but three basic types to think about certainly are ones that are based on storytelling. So there's storytelling, children's sermons that are focused on telling the Bible story or some other type of story. I thought we'd even pass those out tomorrow and just, we don't even need it today. So story-based children's sermons is one type. A second type is the object lesson, where you've got some things you're manipulating up there, saying, you know, trying to make a demonstration that God's love is like this. And I actually like them myself personally because it's fun to dream them up. But again, they're the ones that the research shows us are most problematic and difficult for the kids to make the connection. The third type is a dialogue type, and you've seen sort of versions of these or combinations of all these, but where somebody goes up, you get the kids, and the whole basis for it is asking the kids questions, and they're responding, and kids say funny things, and I mean, that becomes the basis of a lot of children's sermons, is to let the kids say things, and in some churches, in our home church, you know, they'd even stick the mic in front of their face, and they'd ask something, and they'd stick the mic out there so then everybody can hear it. And, you know, and you get the clown kids that are, you know, trying to say things that are funny. So those three types. I mean, of those three types, we can talk about, and we will later in the week, sort of the pluses and minuses of them in different manifestations. But the dialogue types with kids are the most dangerous because you never know what's going to happen. Usually you can manage the danger. And the thrill is sort of fun, perhaps, you know, just to see what happens. The object lessons then are, if they're complicated or just are relying on a metaphorical type of thinking that the kids aren't going to do, they're not going to get necessarily. But even so, if part of that object lesson you're saying God loves you, and they're hearing that, I mean they're still going to get something out of it. But the storytelling type is, again, what the research says, you know, what a lot of people's experience, you know, and going back to oral cultures. I mean, storytelling is something that draws people together. And storytelling by itself is this sort of multi-level. I mean, stories hit people whether you're old or young. And so as you can see already, I mean, a lot of what we do then is going to be primarily based in story. And we can get in other elements from those other ones, but when we get those other elements in, we try to have them worked into a story framework, because then we feel like we can hit this wider group. So without saying more, what we'd like to do is just show you one of these things. And this is a script, so we've got a script, and we'll perform this. I don't even like that word. You help me out here. When you think about this, when you're doing the children's sermon, what verb do you put in front of that? I mean, I just say doing. I mean, if you're preaching the sermon, I know what to say. You're preaching. Oh, if you're, you know, is that it? Presenting? So you're presenting. I mean, I don't like the word perform. It's not a performance. So presenting works. I mean, I typically just say doing, but it's
sharing.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay, so we'll share a children's sermon with you. We've got a couple. And before we start, we need to make sure you're all sort of in the right mood because, I mean, now, I mean, you're our intergenerational audience, and these don't just count as our only kids. We want you to sort of get in the kid frame of mind at least. And somebody in here has to play the role of the grumpy old guy, so you can just... You can decide who gets that role, but
could be a good day, and there could be two grumpy
old days. Yeah, right. So what we thought we'll just sing a quick. We're going to teach you a quick song. This will not take very long, and just sing this song. And because you know, often if this were our Sunday school, we'd be singing first. And if it's church, we would have all been mumbling some hymns first, at least before we get here.
Mumbling.
So
he's a Methodist.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't mumble in my church.
So this song is called Hello Everybody, and you have to move a little bit. You have to be able to stand up where you are. You don't have to, you know. If you don't want to stand up, you can raise your hand or something, but this song is designed for people who feel like standing up once in a while. Yeah. And what we're going to do... She'll ask a question and then say, if this, stand up. And if it's true for you, you stand up. If it's not true for you, you sit down. And there's a chorus. So let's sing the chorus.
Sleeping.
Here's the chorus. And the chorus is kind of a greeting thing. So you can turn to your neighbor and shake their hands and smile. Or if you're still the grumpy old man, then you can just sit there and like scowl.
Okay, hello everybody.
I'm not quite in tune. How do you do? How do you do? Hello, everybody. How do you do? God loves you today. One more time there. Hello, everybody. How do you do? How do you do? How do you do? Hello, everybody. How do you do? God loves you today.
If you've got red on,
stand up. If you've got long hair, stand up. If you've got no hair, stand up. If you've got nose hair, stand up. Hello, everybody. How do you do? How do you do? How do you do? Hello, everybody. How do you do? God bless you today.
If you like Holden, stand up.
Holden Village.
If your hair's golden, stand up. If your laundry needs folding.
Okay, what's fine? If your laundry needs folding,
stand up. If your bread's molding, stand up. Hello, everybody. How do you do? How do you do? How do you do? Hello, everybody. How do you do?
I'm nobody today.
Yeah. Okay. You're nobody. Okay. This one. Right?
I know it. It's, yeah. Okay. We got to have.
Oh, we have a guest. Can you still be the. You're going to be the guest. One thing we. I'll explain a lot as we'll just start. This is Barnabas. He's sort of our main character. And the introductions will be made sort of on the way. This is one that goes from 2 years ago when we first started doing this. And we often draft parents or older kids, actually, even at the very last minute, give them a couple lines, and then they come up and get to participate in I mean, sort of feel very proud to help. And some of the parents, you know, anxiously wait to be called into this because it's like their favorite part. Okay.
And sometimes there's just... Olivia's not doing this one. See, sometimes it's just a person talking to Barnabas, the puppet. Sometimes it's all puppets. It just depends on what Marvin...
And this one is based on scripture text in Genesis 12.
Oh, yeah, we were going to look at that.
Oh, well, just tell
him. Well, maybe Peggy can read it.
Have you got it? Yeah, read us Genesis 12 for us, if you would.
Does anybody know what Genesis 12 is?
I bet you guys a lot of you know it. Any of you take Bethel?
Leave that alone.
Yeah, this was the beginning
of it.
Blessed
to be a blessing?
Yes. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.
Okay, so there's the Saturday night text. Say, oh, shoot, what do we do with this?
And Abraham is being called.
Okay, so, hey, muchachos y muchachas, do you remember me? I'm Barnabas Peak. ¿Cómo estás de mañana? How is everybody this morning?
Fine, good. Okay.
What? I can't hear you.
Good. They get into this and they yell.
Yeah. Well, that was fine. No. Now, and we're from Bozeman, Montana, so we didn't change this to the Holden locale. So some of these references are going to be to Bozeman. Okay. We say, "Brr," which I guess isn't so bad for today anyway.
Yeah, that's appropriate.
"Brr, it's cold here. I can't get used to this weather in Mont. What's the name of this place again?
Montana.
Oh, Montana, that's right. Beezer, Montana.
Bozeman, Montana.
Oh, well, I come from the jungle in South America, in Bolivia. Can you all say that?
Bolivia.
Yes, and my sister's name is Olivia. Everyone calls her Olivia from Bolivia.
What are you doing so far away from home, Barnabas?
You know, it was a funny thing. I belong to this Bible study back home. You guys all read the Bible, don't you?
Yes.
Don't you? Well, my Bible study group meets every Wednesday at the top of this huge tree. It's mostly birds that come, sometimes a few monkeys. We invited the slugs, but they never seem to get there in time. Anyway, last month, we were reading a story that you may know. It was about Abraham. Do you know who he is?
Yes.
Yeah. I know Abraham Lincoln. He was the president of our country.
Oh, that's true, but I'm talking about a different Abraham. I'm talking about Father Abraham in the Bible. Did you know one day God called him kind of like this? He said,
"Hey, Abe. Hey, man, this is God. I want you to leave this place and go to a new land. And I want you to know I love you."
Abraham could have said, "No way, Jose. I don't want to leave all my friends and my house. Who do you think you are anyway?" Instead, Abraham said, "Dios mío, my God, I will follow you." And he did.
But what does that have to do with you being here, Barnabas?
Well, as we sat singing in that tree after reading the Bible, the crossbills always sing so sweetly, I felt this funny feeling as if God were calling to me to go to others to tell them about him. Not just my friends, but to visit other countries and visit other children. And even though my English isn't so great, here I am in Montana.
Montana.
And I want to sing with you and share God's love and help you thank God for making us in this world we live in.
That's great, Barney.
Por favor, please not to call me that. For some reason, it makes me think of this big purple dinosaur with green toenails.
Okay, Barnabas, we're happy to have you with us because we all love God, too.
Who's the sound effects?
Ring, ring, ring.
Excuse me. Yes. No, gracias.
What was that?
Sorry. It was someone I met at school calling me to go out and play. in the street. Do you think I should have said yes?
No.
Ring, 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 ring.
Excuse me.
For a new bird on the block, you sure are popular.
Well, no, gracias. Sorry. It was someone calling me to go out and play next Sunday morning, during Sunday school. Do you think I should have said yes?
No.
Ring, 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 ring.
Yes? See. Oh, see. Sure. See. Yes, I will. That was someone from church calling to ask if I wanted to go on the crop walk in 2 weeks to help raise money for people who are hungry. Do you think I should have said yes?
Yes. Oh, we get lots of calls from different people every day. But just because you get called doesn't mean you should always do those things. You have to decide if it's something God wants you to do.
But when God calls, or when we get called to do God's work, it's good to listen. And now, I want to listen to you sing. Let's sing something about God calling us to love.
Okay, and we often have somebody on the piano, but we don't today. And we will sing this song. This is a round, and it's the love round, and we'll all sing it together first, and then we'll divide. You'll start with me, and the second half will go with Marvin. And these are the words, and we're going to do it a cappella.
Yeah.
And let's see if I can start it right now.
Here's the cue singing.
Love. Okay.
So sing it together once.
Yeah, sing it all together first. Okay.
Love. Christians, this is your call. Love your neighbor as yourself, for God loves all.
Is this a great day or what? That's our tagline. So. Man, I need to sit down, sweetie.
Okay, and that was one of ours. And usually the kids, we don't, you know, we're not usually divided like this. The kids are all with us, and they're kind of around us. And because we have toddlers there, the toddlers often toddle up, and they sit. They kind of just come and they'll try to grab Barnabas, and Marvin's often trying to, bend them off. But they're always around us and just very much. And they are listening, because they will respond the yes and no questions. They're very much a part of it. So
I mean, I wondered, what sometimes in some of the things you read, I mean, some things say, don't turn what the kids say into a joke that the congregations are laughing at. You can make a kid feel bad very easily. If a kid says something, is trying to contribute, that's not trying to be funny, and then people are laughing at him. And similarly, like when people are laughing and kids don't get it, you wonder, is a kid gonna like feel left out? But what we find is, we've got a friend of ours that's just had her third child sort of popped out, and she's 40, and here's this kid, and he's just this terror, this handful, he's just this, I'm glad it's not us. But how old is he now? He's two. And that's all she can do just to keep this kid from going ballistic and zooming off. But, during this stuff, you see him, he's just there, and and people are laughing, and he sees adults laughing and kids. And he's sort of laughing along with everybody else. It's just part of the community building that sort of can work.
Do you have any response to this particular script? I'm not saying
or questions about any things.
Yeah.
It
must take a lot of time to do this every week.
Well,
everyone?
I mean, that's Yeah, I mean, now that I've got some in the can, if a text comes back up, you know, I say, if I can remember, you know, oh, we did that one. I mean, sometimes I'll.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you, once you get sort of a basic several themes going, what I find is, and the next one we're going to do hits one of our main themes, you'll see, and then that one does come up again. So it's not like reinventing the wheel every time. And what we're going to talk about later this week is techniques, some ideas, some, you know, formats. So it's not like pulling this out of nowhere. I mean, there are basic, you know, types of things. When I sit down, I see one, I say, okay, you know, what type do I want to do this time? So I've got sort of a, oh, I'll do a jungle story. So then I'll just invent some story back in Bolivia. You know, he'll talk about, oh, back when I lived there, that has parallels with the Bible story. And, you know, so you write a story. And I mean, I tell myself it doesn't take very long. Well, you know, if I start like at 10 at night, you know, I mean, it takes a while. But it wouldn't have to take, it doesn't have to take a great deal of time.
And one thing I was going to say is that like the text was Abraham being called to do God's work. You know, the kids aren't going to necessarily pick up, besides the fact that Barnabas is being called and saying no to some choices and then saying yes to one choice. But this, that will be repeated at, we, you know, different puppet shows that we do. The idea of being called and then trying to make a choice, or you know, loving other people. I mean, that's a real basic thing. And so it comes up in its own unique way in different Bible stories, different texts. And so it's not like you have to start at the beginning every time. It's kind of building on themes of being called and loving people and, you know, that kind of thing. So
one of the things that you've done is taken a fairly abstract notion of being called by God and given it a concrete representation.
Right. You know, and in a way, I mean, it's a prop when it's in a puppet show. But I mean, that's you could call it an object lesson. You know, you bring your phone up and say, you know, God calling Abraham is like this, me getting this call on his phone. I mean, instead of just saying it that way, I mean, you're sort of dramatizing it, and well, you're making it a story. And by making it story, I think again, you get that multi-level effect coming out of it. Yeah.
So you have one of these puppet children's sermons every Sunday, so the kids know to expect Barnabas is
going
to be there.
At Sunday school, he'll be there every week.
Okay.
In church, you know, actually we have ongoing discussions about this. I mean, what we do in our church right now is we've got sort of a bank of volunteers that are willing to do them, and Kay will just make out a schedule for the next couple months, and then we just sort of rotate through. I mean, and I do like, I don't know, half of them. You know, because I like doing it so much. I mean, I do it every Sunday, but you know, I don't want to hog it, because there's other people that like to do them. And
people have different styles. And,
yeah, and you know, everybody's quite different. And then you get a variety of things. I mean, I read some books that say the same person should do them every week, because then the kids sort of recognize that, and then you have continuity. And then you know, since I know what I did last week, but the next person isn't, you can sort of do a little building. You know, I don't even know if that's ideal or not, but that's not what we do for the actual children's sermons. We have, you know, it's not a giant group, but then there's all kinds of fascinating discussions that go on, including with our pastor, is, you know, if somebody's doing them that gets a big charge out of them, but they're not that great, then what do you do? You know, I mean, and those are actually, I think, very intriguing questions that don't just involve children's sermons, but, you know, participation in church communities in such a wide aspects of them. You know, and I mean, are you just there to get top performers performing, or is the whole purpose to sort of include everybody in a number of ways? And I mean, that's the side I come down on. If it's not the best one you've ever heard, somebody still there is going to think it's great, and it's a great way of getting people involved. And I mean, that's another thing that I love about this format. You know, when we have a script, we write in somebody and then draft somebody in. So you're bringing somebody in, And sometimes when we have props and things we need, I mean, Hannah's my best assistant on this in the morning, on Sunday morning, you know, say, oh, you know, so it's always in the mornings. I need this and this and this. You know, so they rummage through their toys and then find me something, and then she's involved in a way that she might not be. And if I were really organized, I mean, I think I'd plan it in advance so I'd get some of the other kids from other families. Say, you know, next week I need this. Would you mind bringing me this? I mean, to have them sort of contributing, I think, would be a great thing, although...
One thing I would say about children's sermons, different than our weekly... Sunday school opening, if you had a variety of people doing it, I think it's worth getting those people together to talk about, you know, we have a handout that we're going to give out that just gives some ideas about storytelling, and, you know, to discuss those things together. Some people will have their own unique way of using that, you know, some people will do puppets, some people won't, you know what I mean? But they may, in a conversation with other adults who are doing children's sermons, may pick up on some good hints that maybe will help...
like a writer's group of any
improve,
sort,
you know, improve somebody's ability to do children's times, you know, without being critical about somebody who kind of does... kind of dry ones or whatever. It could just inspire people to try some new ways of doing things that maybe it will improve. But I would hate to discourage anybody who wants to do them, because sometimes you become a better storyteller just by telling more stories, and you get...
And some people would never consider doing this. They get asked. I mean, I feel a little bit like this. I mean, I feel incredibly blessed sort of doing this every week. And if no one had ever asked me to do it, and I would have never known. So I think that's a great thing. Well, let's do this. This is from Genesis 13:8. You're our designated reader.
We'll do one. What time is it?
1:45. We're fine. I still want to do baptism.
Abraham and Lot are wandering around. This is 13:8. Then Abram said to Lot, "Let there be no strife between you and me, and between your herders and my herders, for we are kindred. Is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself from me. If you take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if you take the right hand, then I will go to the left."
Okay, that's good. So this was actually the next Sunday's, so that we get a bit of a sequence going here, since they were doing their introductions. And this is actually, we have this other character that's going to show up tomorrow, that's the sister, but she'd been invented, but we didn't realize she was ever going to come up from Bolivia.
She would still be in Bolivia, but somehow she's in Bozeman, Montana now, too.
Okay, we're not going to make you sing anymore. This is my prop usually, so I have it on me, so. Let's see. You ready? Buenos dias, everyone. Do you remember my name? Yeah, and now I need to learn all your names, too. Let's see if I can guess some. I'm a pretty good guesser. Say, you look like my friend Paco. He likes to eat tacos. Is your name Paco?
No.
How about Taco? No? What is it?
Hannah.
Say, you look like my friend Pepito. He liked the burrito. Is your name Pepito?
No.
What's your name?
Ted.
Oh, well, and you look like my friend Jean. She likes the refried bean. Is your name Jean?
Oh. What's your name?
Peggy.
In Bolivia, does everyone eat things that rhyme with their names? No. That must mean that you are Barn, you like to eat yarn.
Oops, I'm supposed to have yarn up here.
Okay.
Say that again.
Oh. In Bolivia, does everyone eat things that rhyme with their names? That must mean that you Barn, you like to eat yarn.
Let's see. No, but I do like to use yarn to make my nests. I like llama wool yarn the best. Speaking of names, I wanted to tell a story today about my bird friends and me back home in the rainforest in Bolivia. And I want you to guess what this story is about, okay? Here's a hint.
What's it about? Typing?
Typing? No. Oh. No. Pecking. That's it. Who said that? Pecking. That's right. This story is about pecking. One day, in the days before we started our Bible study in the trees that I told you about last week, Olivia, she's my little sister, you know, Olivia from Bolivia. Anyway, she flew over to where I was eating my dinner one afternoon, and she landed right next to me. So close, it was starting to bug me. So do you know what I did?
You asked her if she would like to share your dinner.
No.
You nibbled some of those forest fleas off her feathers.
No. I pecked her like this. Ow!
Jeez.
And then our cousin flew in and sat right next to Olivia onto her favorite perch, so she pecked him just like this. Oh, I get it. I get the picture.
Why did you guys do that? It seems kind of mean.
Well, we didn't think so. We all did it. Haven't you heard of the pecking order? The big ones peck the little ones, and the little ones peck the littler ones, and that's how we kept order in the rainforest.
It sounds a bit barbaric to me. Maybe we should call you Barnabas the Barbarian.
No, not anymore. That's what I'm trying to tell you. One day, after we started our Bible study, we were reading about Abraham. I told you about him last week. Well, the Bible says that one day, he and his nephew got into this big fight about who would get to graze his sheep on the best and tastiest grass. All of us birds reading that story knew exactly what would happen next. They'd start poking each other in the face. Give me that land, poke. I get it, poke. No, I get it, poke. But they didn't. Even though Abraham was bigger and older than his nephew, he wanted things to be peaceful. So he let his nephew Lot pick first.
His nephew was named Lot? Was his father named Vacant?
I don't know, but God was happy with Abraham because he didn't peck or fight. He let his nephew go first. And so we birds, we all decided to stop our pecking right then and there and follow God's way. We found it was much nicer. You can follow God's way too, you know, with your family or friends. You can share and let others go first. When your mom or dad offers you a cookie, you could let, like, the little ones choose first. Or like if you're making a necklace at Narnia and you all want that last blue bead, what might you do?
Somebody else.
Yeah. Isn't that great? God doesn't want a pecking order. God wants a loving order. Now, let's have a prayer about that. So, I mean, typically then we'd have a prayer at the end of the children's sermon, so we'd pray something. So, and then the tagline at the end of all these is this a great day or what? And then we move on to that. So
we use that at the end of all of them.
Almost all of them. That's sort
is
of the
a great day the, or what?
The rich. Kind of that's like the liturgical clue.
That is a great day or what?
Is this a great day or what?
Right.
So there's a lot and sharing, I guess. And I mean, like that one, you know, I mean, that just sort of came. And then that's one that we come back to a lot because that's this theme, pecking order, loving order. And there's a lot of texts where, I mean, it's just about that. So that will get referred back to. I mean, it'll get retold and remanifested in different ways. I mean, but that's sort of has become a sort of
we
a type story.
We hope by the time kids become teenagers, they sort of stop picking on each other. But, you know, I don't know if it will work, but if you repeat something over and over, maybe they'll get it.
Don't do it.
Now, I don't know if they have books. The only books, all those years I did Sunday school teaching and children's sermons and stuff, the only books I ever saw for ideas were object lessons.
Yeah.
You've talked about. You take this and you say it's like God. Are there nowadays books of children's sermons like what you're talking about?
I've sort of gone on and searched just the book list. I mean, there's hundreds of titles out there with children's sermon ideas, and they take a lot of different forms. I mean, you know, most of them will be like about a page long. Some of them will tell a story. Some of them will incorporate object lessons. And, you know, what I find by looking at those, one of them actually was a pretty, Allison grabbed it, was just reading it just as a book to read, and she was enjoying it. But so many of them, when you just read a chunk, I mean, it sounds like so many words coming at you that, I mean, it's like a little mini sermon, so many of the formats, that when they're not story-based, it's just words coming at you. And, I start to clunk off, and you just imagine what the kids, I think, do. I ordered a couple just in preparation for this, just to take a look at some more. And I returned one. I mean, it had an interesting title. It was How Big Is God's Nose? So I thought, oh, you know, this might be crazy. But still, they left me a little dry. You know, what I find, I think it's partly, you know, if you're investing some of your own imagination into something, you just like it better. But I think those books could be useful, especially when we talk about how to do object lessons within a story format. You could get one of those books that have all kinds of great ideas and incorporate it into some kind of story, and maybe then it might sort of have a better sort of flowering, as we're talking about. Yeah. Well, you know, I've thought it's on my list at least to have my little children's sermon book. But
you know, one thing that would be valuable in that, or helpful, I would say, is that we are following the lectionary, so there is the texts that are coming along, and then people could get ideas of how you wouldn't have to do. See, you know, Barnabas is from a jungle, and so then a lot of his experiences with Olivia and the things that come out of that, you could just then change to a different setting that, you know, maybe you wouldn't have to use a puppet, but it could be a different setting and a different, but use a similar kind of flow through the story. Yeah. So, you know, it probably could be helpful if he... Not that people would have to do line by line, do the exact script, but just...
It's interesting, though. You know, I don't know if it's just me, but, I mean, like, our Sunday school curriculum has little puppet shows written into them. You know, I read them, you know, and I think, this isn't that good. Yeah, cheesy. You know, and maybe, you know, I don't know. I mean, when we're doing this, it has a different impact than if just someone's reading it. Maybe if someone just read this, they'd say the same thing. Oh, this is cheesy. I don't know. But I think partly is just, you know, when you're doing it yourself, you're getting ideas from other places, but then you're sort of getting your imprint on it. I think that's probably how to be a better storyteller anyway. I'd like to do the baptism one. Can you hear one more quick one or not?
Yeah.
I mean, this is like an unfair question. Like, what are you going to say? Nah, we're really bored. We want to get out of here. One more.
What time is it?
It's 5:45. Okay, this one was specifically written as a children's sermon, and I don't want that water. I don't know whose it is.
I have to have Olivia.
You're not drinking out of that, are you?
No.
Okay.
But that's the one you're using.
We're sharing that one. That one's like somebody else's. It has germs. We need Olivia's time. Kay's been sort of explaining to our kids, she's quite concerned about this, because she's not Olivia. I mean, back home, Olivia's played by somebody else. Kay does all our extras, meaning we have other puppets and they come in. So, you know, she feels like an imposter.
Hannah, you need to sit down. Barnabas and Olivia have taken on, like, personalities. And so Betsy, who is Olivia, her voice and things are who Olivia is. But Betsy goes on vacation or gets sick, or Marva does. You know, sometimes these written things, and then Olivia's just not there that day. She's gone off to Florida.
Nice.
She went to Florida, and Olivia had a good vacation.
Right.
And then I, or sometimes I'm not a puppet. I'm just a person, and I sit with the kids, you know, and I'll just ask questions or be part of it.
But when Olivia is there, then most of the time it's Betsy and Marvin, and then there may be a visitor. Somebody comes, a bat. We've just got different, these are our kids' puppets. We don't go out and specifically, we haven't gotten that formal about it. You know, that's what we don't want to scare anybody. If you, we just sort of grab the
goofing around. Okay. This one, our kids' friends actually were being baptized. I mean, they're same age. They joined our church. They were being baptized. So they're friends of ours, and I got asked to do the children's sermon anyway. So I thought, oh, I'll do some kind of baptism one for them. So that's what this is. This is kind of a baptism. It's not based on a single text, but it was for baptism. Buenos dias, kids. How is everyone today?
Hi, kids. Hi, kids. It's good to see everyone today.
Say, do you know what special thing is happening here in church? I'll give you a hint.
Shh.
Oh. Now, can you guess?
It's water fight day today. Shoot me. No, shoot. Oh, and me without a squirt gun or a hose.
Oh, man. Let's try that again. Now, can you guess?
It's water fight day. Shoot, and me without a hose.
No, we're going to have a baptism. Some kids are going to be coming up here in a minute with their families to be baptized.
Oh, that's as good as a water fight. I love baptisms.
Do you remember your baptism, Olivia? Here, maybe this will help. I actually had a squirt gun at church. So.
Barnabas, how is squirting me supposed to help me remember my baptism? Let's see if it works for you.
I got into that better than you got.
Yeah, really. I am remembering, and it makes me feel good.
What do you mean you remember? You know we were both baptized back when we were young. You didn't even have any feathers yet, or that blue hat. Mom says that you were so scrawny, you looked like a bath toy.
Barnabas the bath toy? I think I prefer Barnabas the bold. Anyway, let me tell you what I mean when I say I'm remembering my baptism.
Please do.
Okay, once upon a time, back in the jungles of Bolivia, well, I had a friend there named Iditarod. Her parents named her that because she was really fast for an iguana. She had been baptized when she was 3. I guess that's when iguanas get baptized. But it was so long ago, and iguanas don't have great memories anyway. I'll bet you've never heard a saying, iguanas never forget, have you?
Could you get on with the story, Barnabas?
Iditarod just couldn't remember her baptism, but she wanted to. Sorry. Her parents, of course, told her all about it when she got older, and it sounded like so much fun. She wanted to remember, so she tried. She tried everything. She tried spinning her eyes around in opposite directions. You know how iguanas have those cool eyes that look like little volcanoes? She tried sleeping with her eyes open. She even tried my suggestion, slug tacos, yum! If they don't help, I don't think anything will. She had just about given up trying. Then one day, she was racing in the annual jungle sled race, the iguana rod.
Excuse me, Barnabas, but I just have to ask, do iguanas ride in these sleds, or do they pull them?
Well, they pull them, of course. My friend was the Bolivian Balto. Now, please don't interrupt. And we just take whatever, the Iditarod was going on during this.
So it was in the newspaper.
So, anyway, as Iditarod was zooming along this jungle path, in the lead, I might add, she took a wrong turn and somehow fell into this deep, slimy pit. Ah! She was terrified. It was dark and too slippery to climb out of. So she called for help, but no one came. She wanted to cry, but instead a thought came to her mind.
What?
You know how sometimes you get ideas you don't know where they come from? Well, suddenly she started to say to herself, I have been baptized. I have been baptized. Can you all say that? I have been baptized. I have been baptized. And do you know what? Iditarod told me this later, and it's the truth. As scared as she was when she started saying that, she suddenly knew that Jesus was there with her and that he always would be. And she started thinking about the stories that she'd been told about when she was baptized. Her mom holding her, and her dad, and the pastors holding her, and then all of them telling her they loved her. And then the water, it was like God had reached down and done the same thing, grabbing her, holding her, loving her, reminding her, saying, "You're mine." Shoop! And at that very moment, down in the bottom of that hole, Iditarod's dad reached down and pulled her out. He'd been searching and searching, and he found her. He wiped the slime off Iditarod's face. He dumped some water over her head and said, "I found you. You're safe. You're mine." And you know what? At the moment her dad dumped on that water, Iditarod remembered her baptism and realized she had always been remembering it just by hearing the stories over and over. And now she says she remembers her baptism every single time that she touches water. Every time. It makes her think of her baptism when it snows, when she washes her hands, when she's having a water fight. Or when else might you touch water and think about your baptism?
What, Emily?
When she's taking a bath or a shower.
Okay.
Yeah.
What else? When else do you touch water?
Go swimming.
Yeah.
We got a water slide.
Well, and now, like Iditarod, I try to remember my baptism too. Every time I touch water, it makes me think of God and everyone holding me and saying, "You're safe, you are loved, you are mine." Now, is this a great day or what?
Jeez, I did.
You soaked me. So, thank you for coming. We'll do some more with puppets tomorrow. And I mean, what we'll talk about tomorrow then is some basic formats. You know, like when I mean that's a jungle story format, which is. If you're not doing puppets, it's tied to specific, you know, when I was a kid stories, if you're just up there an adult talking. And, I mean, it's a kind of some techniques for helping shape these. So hope to see some of you back.